No, thank you for not making you have to speak. I get that. I told you today is one of those days where there's a bunch of energy let loose around here, and sometimes that's dangerous. So I'm going to commit to you that I'm going to try to keep it at an acceptable level this morning. So we have this saying here at Five Stones that's been here for I don't know how long, maybe since the beginning, and it goes like this: God is good. And all the time. Let's do it one more time. God is good. And all the time. We say that, at least in my sort of perspective, we say that to celebrate that fact that God is good all the time, but also to remind ourselves that God is good all the time. He is good, and he is good all the time. We have a good God that is present in our circumstances. And it's important for us to remind each other of that on the regular. So it's more than just a slogan. It's kind of a spiritual discipline that we engage in together. It's not just a chant or something to repeat. It's meaningful for us. And it gains importance the more often that we say it. And here's kind of, I don't know, I imagine that sometimes you're like me and you're sitting out here and somebody says, God is good, and then we all say, and all the time, and you're sitting there saying, yeah, maybe, right? Or could be, I'd like to think so, but sometimes the circumstances of our lives just kind of pile on, right? Sometimes the things that are happening in our world are so much bigger in our windshield than these truths that we are trying to first believe for ourselves and then hang on to for dear life, right? So in the space of our church family, it is super important for us to continuously remind each other of this worldview that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good, even when we are in circumstances that don't feel like it. Even when there are things coming at us that don't seem to fit our idea of what a good God would do to us or do for us or prevent happening to us. And so this idea of maintaining a rhythm of recognition is super important. We have another one of these disciplines that we introduced several months ago when I first came on board here. And it's something that we only really talked about in fullness one time there several months ago. And so there's many of you that have come along since then that haven't heard this story. And it's in regards to this piece of furniture over here at the foot of the cross, this circular glass vase that's filled with stones. It's another discipline that we've chosen to bring into the life of our family, one more way that we can be reminded of the fact that God is good and that he's good all the time. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, because today is one of those days in all of our lives, well, in the life of the church. It's the first Sunday of the year. This is week one, 2019. We have 51 weeks after this, right, to remind each other of these very simple yet profound truths. So we're gonna tell the story of the Ebenezer one more time. Ebenezer means stone of help, and it comes to us from a story in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and it's gonna pop up here in a minute, I think, or I'll advance it one way or the other. It's this story of God's people, the people God's chosen to kind of rebuild his dream of intimacy, of having a family, these people called Israel. It's the story of these people and their struggles with another group of people called the Philistines. And if you've heard any of these stories before, the Philistines are a giant pain in the neck. Like, literally, they're just a problem, right, for our friends, the Israelites. There doesn't seem to be much that Israel can do, right, to stand up to these Philistines. In fact, just ahead of the setting of the story that we're going to dive into, the Philistines actually stole the Ark of God from the people of Israel. Now, this is a really important piece of furniture almost like an Ebenezer is for us, in that it's not just a symbol, but it's kind of a box. It's gold, a cherubim on top, and inside the box are these important pieces of the history of the people of God. Not just that, but also God's presence always seems to find itself sort of in the midst of the camp related to this, the Ark of the Covenant, right? And the Philistines took this away. Now, the story kind of is one of those fun stories in the Old Testament where the Philistines steal this super important part of Israelite culture. They kind of know that it's related to the God of Israel, and they take it, and right away they start to have second thoughts about why, you know, should we have this, right? Like, they have this plague of rats, you know, rats. Like, wherever the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant is, there's these rats, right, that infest the villages, and they're just terrible. And also these tumors that people start to grow that just make life unbearable for them. And so the Philistines, long story short, decide that it's the God of Israel that is doing this to them, and they better get rid of this Ark of the Covenant. Instead of just like smashing it or melting it down and taking all the precious metals out of it, they actually take it back. They actually give it back with gifts. Like to appease the God of Israel. So that's how important this Ark of the Covenant is to this story, to not just to Israel, but now to the Philistines. Like, it's become an important thing for them. It's a negative thing and a sign of the power of the God of Israel. So they bring it back, and it sits in this town, sort of on the edge of the Israelite territory for like 20 years. Now remember, I just said how important it was to them, how it's the place where all these important artifacts are and where the very presence of God is known to come and rest. And they allow it just to sit out there on the outskirts of sort of their town, their region, instead of bringing it up into the center and having a big celebration. Because in the meantime, in the time that it was gone, instead of maintaining the worldview that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, they turned to other ways, other worldviews, other ways of navigating the things that were happening to them. So after 20 years of this important symbol of their identity, of the very presence of this very good God being returned to them, we enter into this part of the story. It says that all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. And so Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you're really coming back to him, if you're really returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And so the Israelites did this. They put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and they served the Lord only. And it's a great story. It makes a great movie, right? But don't miss this. What's happened here. The symbol of their identity. These are the people of God, the children of Israel. The symbol of their identity has been taken away from them, and instead of remaining themselves and navigating the world based on the culture that they had, based on the relationship with God that they had, they began to behave like somebody else. They began to handle life in any way that they could that made sense to them, including relying on idols and other gods. So here's this moment where their identity is reset. Here's this moment where their worldview is reset. And they decide, yes, this is our worldview, that our God is indeed the God that has the power to handle everything in our life. Our God is indeed the God that satisfies our needs. Our God is indeed the God that makes everything work in our lives according to how he chooses to bless and lead us through this world. So we will return and we will follow him. So they decide to do that. And here's what happens. He says, Samuel, the priest, says, okay, if this is all happening, you guys got rid of everything and you're really coming back and you're really ready to celebrate a new worldview, actually the old worldview, but really come back to it and recommit yourselves to it, then let's all gather at Mizpah, And I will intercede with the Lord for you. And when they had assembled there at Mizpah, they drew the water, poured it out before the Lord, and on that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now Samuel was serving as leader at Mizpah. Did you hear a word or see a word that's repeated a lot there in that sentence or that paragraph? Mizpah. Like a lot. Like, what's up with Mizpah? Mizpah means watchtower. We get that name from another event that has happened in the history of this region. But the fact that we just hear, Samuel says, gather at watchtower. When they assembled at watchtower, and Samuel was serving as the leader there at watchtower, you start to think, uh-oh, maybe something's about to happen. We're here at watchtower. What are we watching for? Oh, this is what we're watching for. The same Philistines that learned their lesson, we thought, had returned the Ark of the Covenant, right? The same Philistines, when they heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, watchtower, and the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines, this whole history they have with them. And they said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." If you were a people that was persistently harassed, persecuted, had your villages, you know, ransacked, your women, your children taken away, your young men killed, your buildings burned down by this group of people, and all of a sudden they decide to come up and attack you one more time, isn't it right and fitting to be afraid? If you, like me, have circumstances in your life that seem to continually reappear in moments, maybe in transitional moments, like when you're trying to move on from something, but that way of thinking seems to come back to you, or, we've been doing really well with our finances, and then the washing machine broke, and we were planning to get ahead, and now we can't, or we were planning to do this, and now we can't, or this relationship that I have that I keep working on, that I'm committed to. And every time I think I'm ready to go the extra mile to do this thing that God is calling me, man, it just, they do that same old thing again, and I'm just so angry. Do you not have these human experiences the same way that I do? And when they appear, isn't it right to be frustrated? Isn't it right to be afraid when that thing that keeps attacking you that you seem never to be able to conquer rears its head again? This is what's going on in this story with Israel, and I hope your wheels are turning and you can think of some of these things that have happened and still happen in your life. And how important a worldview that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, really is, for the sake of your life, for the sake of our lives, for the sake of our existence as the family of God, building this culture that comes out of us that makes the kingdom of heaven real here and out there. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. They said, "Samuel, we're really in it this time. Don't stop interceding for us." So Samuel takes this lamb and he sacrifices it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord, and he cries out to the Lord on Israel's behalf while the Israelites are coming to attack them. Can you see it in your mind? It's like the sounds of war are coming. The drums are beating. That thing that persistently drags you down is coming near one more time. Don't stop. Don't stop interceding, Samuel. God can do something here. Power is in that moment of decision. Instead of turning and running, instead of returning to a worldview that says we're toast, this thing is always going to take us down. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. And while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. And the men of Israel rushed out of watchtower and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them all along the way to the point below Beth-Kar. We're talking like just kicking their tails out of the region. This is what happened in the life of the people of God in this story. They clung to a worldview. Anybody watch VeggieTales ever? Their God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing their God cannot do. This is it. This is it. God himself wins the victory. God himself provides for you and for me. God himself supernaturally changes the heart of the one we're in conflict with. God himself allows some provision for that thing that's in our way to be moved. God is good all the time. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." And this is it. This big rock that gets propped up on a hilltop. So that anywhere the children of God are out in the region tending flocks, they're, you know, walking between villages or towns, anywhere that they can look across and see on the horizon this stone tipped up. Oh, yeah. That's the time when God came and helped. Ebenezer is a compound Hebrew word, stone of help. Yeah, cool marker, a historical marker, right? Like you can see in national parks in Washington, D.C., et cetera, and city squares. It's one of those kinds of things. It's a monument, a stone that stands the test of time, that stands there. Unabashed, unashamed, super confident, a rock that cannot be moved. Thus far, God has helped. Thus far, God, because God is good all the time. So this is why we have this now in our midst. Just like for the children of Israel, going about their daily business, looking out on the horizon, they see the stone. Now, this isn't the only time that the children of God tip up stones to commemorate God doing something impressive. And so they're kind of in various places around where they go about their daily business. They're reminded of God coming and helping. And so in as much as it's markers on the landscape or historical markers that remind us of the thing, it's a spiritual discipline right in the middle of their daily lives, a remembering. A constant reminder, a choosing to hold on tightly to this worldview that God is good all the time. So over the last 6 months or so, 7 months or so since we introduced this, many of you have been putting stones in it. And so, you know, it started off as one stone. This thing that God did. Right? And I'm choosing not just to say out loud, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, but to get up, to move my body, to come over here, and to choose from one of these really cool stones that represents the thing that God helped us with, the thing that he rescued us from, the relationship that he softened the edges of, the impossible situation that somehow there was a way made. And we take it, and we stick it in here. And in the beginning, the level of the stones was below the level of the basket, and we couldn't see them, right? So it was just individuals dropping in their stones. But as the level grows, as it's been filling up every time people have come and dropped something in here, the rest of us get to see it too. Just like the stones tipped up all around Israel. we have the opportunity to look at this and go, oh my goodness, you see all those stones in there? All of those moments in the life of our church family where people have experienced the move and the help of God. And it can remind us that God is good all the time. I want to take just a few minutes before introducing another piece of this to you to allow for some of you that have dropped stones in the Ebenezer, just as you feel led, in your seats, maybe you can stand up and shout loud enough. What is it that God has done? How has God helped thus far? And I'll share mine. Several of those are for me in these last several months. I had no idea, honestly, no idea how good my life could be as a part of this church family. I really struggled with God, even to put my name into this process. There was no way I wanted to be a pastor and be sort of vulnerable in a group of people again. And he did this. And he's doing this in my life. And so there's a few stones in here that commemorate moments where I'm like, oh man, that person just got me to say something to them and to myself, more importantly, that I was not willing to say to myself or anybody else that it needed to be said. God needed to say something to me that I was unwilling to receive until I was a part of this community. And there's a few of those in there. There's a few stones in there for me about him providing for my family and I in the transition from where we were to where we are. Just amazing moments in my life. And I know, because the thing is full and they're not all mine, that you all have had these moments too. So if any of you have something that you would like to share with your church family, a reason why you dropped a stone in the Ebenezer this year, Kimberly?
Had been. Hello? Are we on? Testing? Okay.
Sorry.
So 2018 was a very, very rough year for me. My mom died unexpectedly in February, and that wrecked me. I feel like God was there before that and said, this is going to be a tough year for you, but I'm going to be there all the way. So I wrote down a few things, and starting it off was John Swope teaching me how to pray out loud. And so on my mother's deathbed, I could pray for her with my family, my father, my sister, and my husband. Then my awesome husband, who just took care of everything right afterwards, so I didn't have to worry about anything. My community, the outpouring from Five Stones was amazing. To mention a few people, the Ludwigs, Kim Boyd, Cindy, the Schultzes, the Hills, the Crookses, they all came and supported me and my family and provided food and friendship, and that was amazing. And then mentally and emotionally, he provided grief share through hospice. That was very helpful to me. Healing care ministries that hasn't been done here, and then they started right then when I really truly needed it. So I thank Shauna and Cindy for that and all the other girls in the group that are so supportive. Physically, I have a great doctor, Dr. Boyd, who wouldn't let me talk him into doing something stupid. And I really appreciate that. And my employer, Jeremy, who's been very patient and understanding with me. I've just been truly blessed. And all those stones are in there for me.
Yeah. So we can say God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Who else has something to share? Deanne. You guys remember Phil Donahue? Oh, it was about me, not you.
That's all right. I've dropped a few stones in the past few months, and some of those stones have been for special spiritual leaders in my life and special friendships here in the church and, you know, outside of the church, just special friends that continue to bless me and love me for who I am. And I'm just very grateful for that.
Thank you. Is anybody else?
We're the Hills, and we've had an adventurous 2018. We've just recently, within the last 3 days, became grandparents again, so that's six. And we should have number seven coming along here in less than a month, so we're grossly blessed in babies. What else?
My oldest son had some medical issues this year. Some people might think that it was not a good thing, but really when you look at the whole big picture, he's my son that's a policeman, and he had a pretty big seizure last month. God placed him in a place that when he had it, he was safe, and there was people there that could help him, and he wasn't on call, he wasn't engaging with somebody that was bad, he wasn't chasing anybody, he was with somebody else that could make sure that the ambulance was called and everything kept him safe. So I truly think that God put him in the right place at the right time when that was going to happen. So we are truly blessed for that.
We had some things that came out that looked bad but ended up being okay. We had someone wreck into our porch at the other house, and it's actually being upgraded into a much more livable space. But when you see someone's car halfway in your house, you don't see the blessing right there. But that has worked out well. That's almost done. Wendy and I also had an opportunity this year to travel with the Honor Bus for the Ashland County Veterans Association. We got to go to Washington, D.C. for the Honor Bus tour, and her and I had never been there. Got to go with my dad and my brother and my sister and brother-in-law. So that was kind of a awesome, and you know, just a series of you're really blessed in this place. So we trying to turn our view screen into, you know, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. We'll put a good spin on it.
So thank you. Anybody else have anything they want to share? If you even move, twitch, I'm coming to you.
So I, this year, started college in Chicago by myself. I didn't know a single soul. And over the summer, I used to go to Park Street and just felt really called to come here to support Bill. I've known him my whole life. And
sorry.
It's been a blessing to know him. And so I came here on his first official Sunday to support him. And I felt the Lord say, you need to be here. Before you go to Chicago. And I was always too afraid to put something in this with the stones, but God has been really moving. Even though I'm not here every Sunday, when I am here, it's truly a blessing, and I always get something out of the congregation or out of whoever is speaking. Just even when I'm over there, like, I randomly get texts just from people in the congregation, like, building me up and supporting me, and they always happen on times when I'm struggling, and this semester was really difficult just because of different circumstances, and every time I was getting to a point where I was really frustrated and really needing, like, support from my family back here, Five Stones was here for me, and you guys have been so such a blessing to me, and I just thank you guys. So.
Thank you. So, I don't know where my clicker is, man. When you hear these stories from other people, when you hear them propping the stone up for you to see, it's got to do something. The Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel's territory. And throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. This worldview that they re-embraced, this perspective that God is good all the time, and that there's nothing that can come against them that he's not bigger than. There's no circumstances they can find themselves in where he is also not there, present with them. It doesn't mean, if you read the rest of the story of God's kids called Israel from this moment forward, they didn't always have it easy. It wasn't like there weren't any other obstacles or things that cropped up in their lives, but they, and often they had to be reminded of this worldview, but in this moment, their perspective changed from fear, right, to authority, from fear to power over the things going on in their lives. This is the power of this spiritual discipline. This is the power of consistently reminding one another that God is good, and he's good all the time. So we intend to continue this discipline with you for each other, but it is the turn of a year, and so we're going to start over again. We're going to see how high we can fill this thing. I think we're going to need a bigger container, personally, because if we become more and more aware of God's presence and how good he is, there's going to be more of us putting more of these stones in this thing. And this is my favorite thing, honestly. I mean, it's kind of pretty to look at, but when you're up here and you hear this, God is good. And all the time. And that thing just, that sound, that ring, that sight, the sight of our brothers and sisters coming up here saying, I have experienced God's goodness in my life. And for those of you like me who need the reminder on the regular, those of you like me that struggle with things in your life, physically, emotionally, financially, relationally, when we see this, when we hear that sound, when we see other people, they remind us of how good God is. They remind us of the fact that we are not alone, that he's good all the time. So I want to introduce another part of this tradition that's really, it's really important to me, and it's something that I have been blessed to do with a couple of other churches that that need this discipline and have needed this discipline in their lives, and that is to introduce this book. This is a unique book for Five Stones. It's been handmade. The stitches, the pages are hand-sewn in here, and this is our book of testimony. This is the place where if you don't feel comfortable standing up once or twice a year telling the rest of the world what God has done, you can write it in here. You can provide for us a record of God's goodness that we can pick up anytime and we can read from it. And it's almost like another gospel. It's another way that the good news gets told again and again through our lives. I got this idea when I was visiting a church in Mexico City, and inside the front page of the book that they had there, and inside of the front page of this book will be these words, and this is the power of it that I want us to remember as we start this year, week one, 2019, week one of 52 that we have together to be reminded of the kingdom that we live in. This is what it said, and this is my translation of it anyway. The past has passed. We don't live in the past, we live today. But we write down God's faithfulness today so that in the future, this record will serve as a reminder of God's faithfulness, which will give us strength and will strengthen our faith to continue forward in the today of tomorrow. This also is a spiritual discipline that we can engage in as individuals, but also that has this benefit of being like a stone propped up on the horizon. And one of the beautiful things that I love to do as these pages fill up is from time to time in the life of our church family, just open it up and read from it and be reminded of the specific things and the specific ways that God has been good all the time. So this is going to appear up front here next week. And as you feel led to come up and drop a stone in. If you recognize God, do something, feel free to just put a date in there. You can put your name in there if you want. You don't have to. Sometimes it's better if you don't. And just write a little description of what God's done. I guarantee there'll be something written on the pages before you encounter it next week, too, because I've got so many things to thank God for and to commemorate, to memorialize of how good he's been. I want to invite the band to come back up here. We didn't create a context for you to come up front today and drop a stone in because we want this to be a thing that we do as a family from now on. And we wanted to make sure that those of you that have been joining us since we introduced this, that you know why this thing is here and what it means. You know what it means when somebody comes up forward and drops something in there and you can say, oh man, God's on the move again. Week one, 2019, God is good. And all the time. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this reminder. We confess that we need it. We confess that like your children of Israel, time and time again, actually we're glad nobody's writing our story down like this, honestly, because we get sideways. We get sideways when those things come again and again. We get sideways when those things seem so big, those circumstances, those issues, those repetitive patterns. We confess that we need you to remind us. We confess that we need one another. So God, it is our intention on this day one, week one, 2019, it's our intention, God, as a community, to re-embrace this worldview that you are very present, you are a very good, you are a very capable God. That in the midst of our circumstances, you are there with us. God, it is our intention to hold on for our dear lives to that truth this year. And Lord, we look forward to all of the ways that you knock our socks off. That we see you move into places of pain and turn that mourning into dancing. God, we look forward to the times when we hear about how the situation was hopeless and you made a way, even if we didn't see it at first. God, we look forward to all of the ways that you reveal to us your goodness. We look forward to bringing them all back here, celebrating them together, reminding each other of how good you are in Jesus' name.